When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
That's Arthi.
That's Noor.
And you're listening to The Reality Is.
You are Brahma, and I am Brahm.
Oh my God, you are Brahm, Nani.
And I am Brahm.
Nani's like destroying our hearts again every week.
Nani has the most impressive trajectory in any human being to take a concept and accept it, right? Something new and accept it. And I think that comes from her worldview of everything is made of love and you and me are all the same and we are all from the same God. And that's her approach, and that helped her reconcile real fast.
Also, when they talk about Nani's history, they say that she was like a trailblazer. She started her own business. So I'm sure in India at the time, this woman was coming up with her business. I mean, she's what, 90? So we're talking about the 1940s. 40s, 50s. Okay, the country is brand new. And this woman, this little Sindhi woman, is starting to make her own business.
Yeah.
That's quite revolutionary.
Yep.
And so I'm sure she herself likely faced a lot of people saying, you know, women don't do this and you're going against what God wants and blah, 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 and your place in the home and how unnatural it is. So I'm sure that she has heard a lot of bullshit like that, and she probably is thinking to herself, my grandson is overcoming another thing that people don't think is acceptable or, you know, traditional, and now who am I to say anything? She says it's only God's plan that matters.
It was so simple.
Damn it, Nani.
I know. And Nicholas was so, he was so stressed out about it. And he was like, should I touch her feet? Should I touch her feet or not or what? I love that Nicholas said Hari Om when he met her. It's the equivalent of namaste. But essentially he was saying, he was using those words and he was trying to speak Sindhi. And he was asking, you know, Lavina, how do you say this? How do you say thank you? She's like, thank you. Nani can understand English. She's speaking English.
I loved it. Now, what is the difference between Hari Om and Namaste?
Both of them are Hindu. Hari Om is just more cultural than Namaste is more religious.
Namaste,
I don't know how to say it. Not religious, really. Namaste is very spiritual. Word. Namaste basically says the humanity in me bows down to the humanity in you. So recognizing the same in each other. Hari Om is basically a greeting of saying hello. And it's more regional and it's more in their family. That's what they say and things like that. So it's essentially God's name. Hari is another name for Krishna. And that's just it. It's taking God's name and saying, hey, in God's name, hello. Basically. Yeah. It's like inshallah.
Yeah, it is. It sounds like it.
Yeah.
Except we wouldn't greet anybody with inshallah. We would but although my parents say inshallah when I ask them for something, which is a passive aggressive way of saying no.
If God wills, right? Yeah. Inshallah is God if God wills.
Yeah. I would be like, can I sleep over at my cousin's house next summer? Am I old enough to sleep over at my cousin's house? My parents would say, Inshallah, beta. We'll see. Inshallah. We'll see. Which was their way of saying,
well, then it's not exactly the same. But
No. What my parents did was use my religion in a way that was toxic against me. Not in my hands. It's in God's.
Yeah.
If God wills it, it will happen.
Yeah.
God didn't will it next summer. So that's what happened. All right. But I also like that we saw Nicholas's background.
Yeah. And she gave Nicholas her blessing right away when he touched her feet. She was like, bless you. She immediately touched his head and bless him, she was over it. She was like, okay, let's plan the wedding. I think she got over it so much faster than Lavina or anybody else expected it.
Because I think for Lavina, it was harder for them to overcome it because she was thinking about her mother and the families and everything. Mm-hmm. I think Nani's also, you know, old.
Yeah, she's at the age where she's like, if I say it's okay, it's okay. Yeah. Who's going to say no?
She's out of fucks to give about what people have to say. She's an old lady, you know?
Yeah.
And I think it's interesting because I think Nani says it was a shock.
Yeah.
And Lavina says, yeah, it was a shock to us too. And Amrit said, it was even a shock to me. It took me a long time to accept it.
Right.
And Amrit said this also on Watch What Happens Live. He said, it took me 25 years to come to terms with my own sexuality. It's going to take everybody else a lot longer.
Yeah.
And that's okay. It's not going to happen overnight. And then so Nani says, it was a shock. And he says, yeah, it was a shock to me too. And it was so nice because the other person who's coming to terms with what you've just, the information you presented them with, you have to give them grace. And Amrit does that. Yeah. If you think about the fact that Nani accepted it really quickly, right? And Nani didn't really care about what people had to say. When Amrit was likely coming to terms with his own sexuality, he thought about all of the people around him and what they would have to say. And when Lavina was coming to terms with Amrit's sexuality, she was thinking about her mother and all the people that she would have to face. And then Nani gets to the Nani tier and Nani's like, nobody else matters. You know?
Yeah,
and I think it's a nice like lesson to learn because if we didn't care so much about what other people thought, these things would be so much simpler to overcome.
Yeah. Yeah. And we learned about Nicholas's parents and it was sad.
Yeah.
I don't want to contrast it, but it was surprising to me that an American family in America would not be as accepting. Even they understand it a little bit more and have so much more vocabulary than Nani, who probably learned what gay means only recently.
Yeah. Well, you know, the evangelicals are... a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So that's probably why. So I have a cousin who is married to a white guy. They've been married for 10 years and they've got a beautiful little girl. You know, my family's Muslim and her husband converted.
So he converted to
Islam. And when we see his side of the family, you can definitely feel the tension more so with his side of the family than you feel with our side of the family. Like with our side of the family, there was a lot of tension leading up to the marriage.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God, like she wants to marry this guy and blah, 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 and all this stuff. Right? Like, there was all this tension leading up to it. And then once our family accepts it, it's like, we're done. We're moving on. We're now going to treat your husband like shit the way we treat each other. Like now you're officially part of our family. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
right. That's true. That's true for most of us. My husband's cousin, she's married to a Christian and she ran away to get married to him because she knew her parents weren't accepted. She came back and once the wedding is done and everything, there's nothing they can say anymore. And they're like, okay, fine. And now they're like, they're perfectly fine. They all get along.
Yeah.
Everything is fine. But also, she converted to Christianity. Her kids have Christian names and they're all Christians, right? So, but our family doesn't care anymore because once the wedding is done, it's sort of a moot point.
Yeah, because the wedding is really the tense part of it. It's like, how are we going to present this to the community? But with my cousin, her American in-laws give her husband a harder time with accepting the fact that he's married to a Muslim Pakistani girl than our family gives her for her marrying a white guy. So it's interesting because it seems like with Nicholas and Amrit, it's kind of the same thing, right? Amrit's family accepted it with a little bit of a few hurdles, but they accepted it.
But I don't even know if Nicholas's family's issue is necessarily Indian versus American. It's more gay.
With our communities, once we get past a thing, once we're past, like the hurdle itself seems really difficult. But once we get past that hurdle, we don't look back at the decision that we've made.
Right.
We're done with it. We're moved on. You're now a part of our family and it's done. Whereas I feel like maybe because evangelical churches and everything, it's so embedded into American culture that I can understand why sometimes accepting that your child has done something outside of the norm of your church is a harder pill to swallow even after they go through it. So I don't know. I thought it was interesting because Nicholas is, you know, we don't think about it from that side, especially when you're a Desi, we definitely look at a lot of American life with a lot of privilege and freedom to do whatever they want. And mm-hmm. we often think of our own culture as being really tied down to what the community says and what people think and blah, 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 which is true. But I never think about it for somebody like Nicholas.
Yeah, but also our issues are more community driven mm-hmm. than it is how people think of us and what a community think of us versus what God thinks of us or what religion they. We don't care so much about that. We all have, like, in our culture, I'm not saying in religion, Islam versus Hinduism, our culture, the Desi culture, whereas, you know, Islam may be differently experienced by Pakistanis versus Saudis, right? So that's not what I'm saying. But in our Desi culture, religion is a very personal experience. Your relationship with God is a very personal relationship and not a community experience. The celebrations may be, the culture may be, the fun may be, the parties may be, the dancing may be, and all that. But the true connection with God is your personal experience, and that is all that matters. And I mean, the issues of where two cultures come together, it's issue of what will people think is a bigger issue mm-hmm. than what will my priest say, or what will my church say, or what will my
My
temple say, or whatever.
Yes, that's true. Mm-hmm. Also, the concern of what people will say is driven by religion mm-hmm. because they think that everybody else is super religious. And so if their child steps out of line, everyone is going to mm-hmm. look at them like, oh, they were the bad parents that couldn't raise good Muslim kids. When guess what? Everybody else's Muslim kids are just as bad as your Muslim kids. It's not that serious. You know what I mean? Yeah. So yeah, it's all like that. But I just loved it. We sometimes forget that these conversations are still difficult for Americans too.
Yeah.
It's not always, we're not the only ones with overbearing parents who are always disappointed in this.
All right. I know.
Do you think I text you like Anisha texts Bali?
Yes and no. Anisha was texting like a word. If she has a sentence as 5 words, she was pressing send after every word. I don't think you do that, but I think we both text similar, which is basically we start a sentence, and then we jump subjects matter. So when we text each other, it's like verbal vomit. Like, I have 5 things to tell you, and I'm going to send all 5 things one after the other and not wait for your response. I'll see your response when I see your response.
Yeah, exactly. Thank God WhatsApp lets you reply to a message so that I know what to reply to.
Right.
So we saw Vishal and Reshma get together and have lunch. Let me tell you something. Those two are so fucking awkward. Like, is Reshma not the most overbearing, awkward person on TV?
She is. Here's the issue. I don't see Reshma's relationship with the husband. Like, we see Lavinia's relationship with the husband. We don't see a lot of the other women's relationships with their husbands either.
Dharma and Mike,
we see a little bit. Do we see a lot of Anisha's parents together?
No, because Chitra doesn't need anybody, okay? Yeah, Chitra is a goddess on her own.
Yeah, she's very complete all by herself.
Yeah.
And I think Reshma may be that way too, but at the same time, I feel like I don't know Reshma well enough. Mm-hmm. If she could, she would take that damn test for Vishal and make him pass it. But she's like trying to push this boulder of Vishal into this business because she knows that he will not apply himself to anything else and get anything done. She wants him to have a career. So she's trying to push him into the family business or her business. And I don't think Vishal has the aptitude or the drive to do it. So she's struggling with it. And the way they both went to lunch and they sat down and they put their phones in for better relationship into the box and all of that, it almost felt like, are you on a date with your son? You're not on a date with your son.
Right. It was so creepy. It was so and weird. And she was like, you're shivering. You're shivering.
Put a blanket on you.
What is this? What am I watching? It was so cringy. And I couldn't quite put my finger on why it was cringy.
See, if Dharma did that or if Avina did that, would you feel differently? Like Lavina saying, Nicholas, do you want your tilapia? Do you want your protein? It feels motherly. Right. Reshma does, hey, put the blanket on, put the blanket on, put the blanket on. It doesn't feel mother. I don't know. It felt awkward to me too.
It was so awkward and I don't know why. And I'm going to try to explore why it makes me feel awkward. But my feelings are my feelings, okay? My feelings are that Reshma is just, she's awkward and Vishal is awkward. And watching them sit and have this lunch and be on for the cameras, I was like, you guys aren't like this in real life. Like when Lavina is with Amrit or Chitra is with Anisha, I believe that relationship. I believe Dharma and Brian together. I believe Raj and Monica.
I feel like they banter like that and they talk like that at all times.
Yes.
But this conversation felt awkward. Like I feel like a normal conversation between Reshma and Vishal would have been Reshma mad that he hasn't finished his certification yet and yelling at him. Instead, she was being nice and asking him nicely and he was making excuses. Yes. And I'm like, that's not normal. A normal mother would be yelling at you right now.
Yes, that's exactly it. Also, it's odd that Reshma had this blow up with Lopa at that happy hour and we have never seen what the conversation was with Lopa and her son following.
There was no resolution. There was no resolution after that.
It's too phony and I don't care for it. And Vishal is like 35 years old, still works for his mommy. His mommy is telling him how he should advance his career. Like, I can see why Richa hates him when he's in Miami. She probably only likes him when he visits her in Memphis or when he's hanging out with her friends. But it doesn't – I can see why when Richa is with Vishal and his parents, why she's so turned off by him. Because that's really unattractive.
Yeah.
Especially with a mother like that who is like, please put a blanket on. And again, we've talked about why she's probably that way, which is because Vishal grew up as a sick child. He had Crohn's disease. He was in a wheelchair. Mm-hmm. Like, there's all these reasons why she probably is an overbearing mother. But my God.
Yeah, that made me cringe. And the other thing was Vishal kept saying, I'm going to buy a house in Memphis and I'm going to buy a house in Miami. And Anisha kept saying, you should move to Memphis. You should buy a house in Memphis. And he kept saying, Memphis and Miami, Memphis and Miami. I'm like, you don't have to buy a house in Miami. You can have your own company. You could have a branch of your business in Memphis. Just move out of your family house, go and live with your girlfriend or marry the damn girl and just move in and live your life for a couple of years. Mommy is still going to be here for you.
It's very
She'll be waiting here with the blanket. Don't worry about it.
It is very strange that, you know, because Richa has said, if you want to do the gender swap thing and you can stay home with the kids and I can work, I'm totally fine with that. And Vishal says he's fine with it too. But I think that's some of the conversation that we're missing here is like, why hasn't he moved to Memphis? What's going on there? Why are they long distance? Why has he remained in Miami? Because if your career
I think Reshma doesn't want him to do that. Yeah. I don't think Reshma wants him to do that. So she's pushing him to have his own business and his own money and his own career because she doesn't believe in him staying home.
Yeah.
But she's also not enabling him to do so by smothering him. Let him go.
Well, also before the show, we did learn that Vishal went to LA to try to become an actor and it didn't work out. So I think Vishal
Who knows what happened there? Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Who knows what happened there?
Exactly. So,
yeah.
Ugh. All right. Well, then Brian goes on a date with both of the Monicas. Vishal shows up too. And we learned something new about the Benny family, which is that Dharma and Mike had to elope because of the family expectations of what you have to do. And Brian said something interesting, which was the Indian thing is you constantly have to feel like you have to prove your worth all the time. That is a very Desi thing. To constantly feel the pressure of the community and how you will prove yourself. It's a heavy burden that I didn't realize that I carried until I started going to therapy in my 30s.
It sort of fades away a little bit when you hit like around 35, 40. The pressure goes away because now you are going into auntie-dom. So you... it's happening. So now you are off the hook, but your younger cousins are on the hook for that. Mm-hmm. So now the pressure is on them, and you sort of you get a break from like 40 to about 50 or 60. And then after that, it's a question of, are you going to be the proper auntie or not? And are you going to pick on the little guys?
I thought you were going to say, and after that, you just die.
Yeah, after that, you catch some dick and you die. And you die and you get some dick on the way. That's about it.
Yeah. No, but you're absolutely right. I think that that's so true. Because, yeah, I'll be 36 in a month. And yeah. I think that that's definitely where I am now, where I'm like, who gives a shit what everybody thinks? You know, like over the July 4th weekend, we went to visit I had all my cousins visiting from out of town. We tried to see each other once a year, and obviously we couldn't last year. Mm-hmm. So everybody got together, vaccinated at my house. My cousin, who is older, has a 16-year-old. And when she was packing to come to my place, she was like, oh, you know, Sophia, her daughter, is really concerned about what is she going to wear. She was like, look, all my daughter wears is crop tops and mom jeans. And I was like, okay. And she was like, well, is it okay if Sophia wears that to your house? And I was like, yeah, it's okay for Sophia to wear that to my house. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Of course I don't care about that. Yeah. And she was like, well, I wasn't sure because, you know, everybody from the family is going to be there and I wouldn't want her to feel blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, no, I totally understand 10 years ago if she had asked me that, I would have thought through of, well, my mother-in-law is going to be there. And
will she be offended? Will she be offended?
And this time I was like, literally, it doesn't matter. She could wear a bathing suit to my house and I wouldn't give a shit. Like, she can wear whatever she wants. Whatever she feels comfortable in, we don't care. Yeah. So I totally think that you're right about that age thing because Brian's not there. Brian's 29 and he is concerned about what people think about the fact that he's with this super hot, super successful daughter of doctors, doctor herself, Monica Shaw. Mm-hmm. Well, let me tell you something. We said it last week.
Yeah.
Brian's going to fuck this up.
He's going to fuck this up. He's getting ready to do it. He's going to fuck this up because he doesn't see himself as a good catch right now. And we come to why. We learn why.
Yes.
And there's very valid, and that was shocking. But at the same time, he shouldn't. And he should be okay with harm making more money and people asking. And it was like so telling because everybody kept asking Monica Shaw, what are you doing with Brian? What attracted you to Brian? They kept showing Brian's face every time all these guys were asking her that. And she was like laughing and blowing it off. But you could say that it was bothering him. That they kept saying, why would a doctor go out with him? A young kid who doesn't have enough money and doesn't know where his direction. He was just partying last week. And
I know,
you know,
but also like how much more rich do these people need to be? Because Brian pulled up in a Maserati at that dinner at the end. So I was like, Maseratis are not cheap cars. Yes. So I don't understand how much richer people need to be.
Is that one of the Patel's rentals? I don't know. Did he borrow it? We don't know that. We don't know their personal wealth and where they stand.
Yeah. I mean, if he's working in IT, he's making good money at 29. Yeah. But who knows? But now he's not because we find out that he's unemployed.
And he hasn't told anyone.
He hasn't told anyone, but he decided to reveal it on a television show.
Yeah.
Brian, stop winking at the camera and go get a job, you idiot. Now all of that makes sense where every single time he would meet up with somebody, they'd be like, how's everything going? And he'd be like, you know, Q4. Q4 is stressing me out. Q4. There was never a Q4. There was never a Q4.
No, it was Q4. They looked at the bottom line. They looked at the top line and they were like, oh, no. Can't afford Brian.
Yes.
Bye, Brian.
He got the Q4 cutout. Yes. They crunched their numbers in Q4 and decided.
Listen, Brian, if you're listening, this happens to all of us. We've all been there. Yeah. We've all been there. Dust it off and keep looking. You're in IT. You'll get something.
Yeah, baby, send me your resume. I work in IT.
Yeah. Yeah, send me your resume. My husband works in IT. Don't hire you.
Hello, we're two brown people. We know lots of people that work in IT. Oh, Brian. I did think that there, he kept bringing up this thing about you have to talk about the financial compatibility thing.
Yeah.
Is that something you had to go through?
Not really.
That's a very old school Desi thing.
Yes. But that was bothering me until he told me that he doesn't have a job, which in case that is a financial compatibility, that is a very stark compatibility where if he goes and meets with Monica's dad and he says, how's your job? And he tells him, oh, wait, I got fired. I don't have a currently have a job, but I do want to marry your daughter.
Yeah.
That would not go well.
Yes.
Like, try again, go back out, put your resume on Indeed, and then try again next week. That's what her dad would say. So I think even they'd say financial compatibility, I think he was thinking about the fact that he didn't have a steady paycheck.
Yeah, that's true. At that dinner, Monica keeps saying, you know, you just know, you know, you know. Mm-hmm. Do you know?
No.
Do you know?
Do you know?
All I kept thinking was 25,000. Did you know?
No, did you? You know. And he didn't quite know for a while. And then he was like, oh, now I know.
Brian, you idiot. God, you're so beautiful. Shut up. Go get a job. Okay, get your shit together.
Yeah. Would you want a $100,000 ring, though?
Is that a reason?
I don't think she asked for a $100,000 ring. What is okay?
But also, like, every girl has a checklist, and some of the things on her checklist are bananas.
Yeah,
right. But we don't actually mean them. But I think men just take things too literal.
I don't know. I didn't have a checklist. Now I'm regretting it. I could have. I could have asked for a $100,000 ring and then seen what I get. I didn't even ask. I didn't show any. I didn't have any checklist. I was like, "Don't smoke." And he quit smoking right away. And that was it. I was like, okay.
You're like, he's Prince Charming.
Yeah. He quit smoking for me overnight. So.
Oh, well, that's really nice.
Yeah.
Wait, that's so crazy because that was something that attracted my mother to my father as well.
Mm-hmm.
She said, Daddy quit smoking for me, cold turkey.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, okay. Fod's never quit anything for me now that I think about it.
But you did get a ring.
I did get a ring.
You got a honker.
I did get a nice big fat ring.
Yeah.
It was $100,000. Because we still have a mortgage to pay and kids in daycare. So, like, I live in New Jersey. My property taxes are too high. But when I was 19, I once made a list. It was 2 pages front and back.
Wow.
Of all of the things that I wanted. And it had all kinds of stuff. But I think almost every single thing on it, my husband does meet.
Mm-hmm.
Except for one thing, which was, is a good dancer. Mm-hmm. Doesn't necessarily have to be like a great actual, like, I'm not talking about like some Rico Suave shit, but just like actually just enjoys dancing, even if he's not the best dancer.
Yeah.
My husband, when everybody is dancing on the dance floor, he is not in the room. He's like not a dancer at all.
Mm-hmm.
That was the only thing.
Yeah. That's a small thing to give up.
It's fine. Well, yeah, he didn't ever give up smoking for me though. So fuck that guy.
Does he smoke?
No.
So what?
But he didn't give up anything for me.
Oh.
He didn't even have an addiction that he could give up.
Fod needs to get addicted to nicotine and then quit cold turkey to prove it. That's what he should ask for. So 10th anniversary was a ring. 20th anniversary, he has to get addicted to something and then quit cold turkey.
Can you pick up meth around our 15-year anniversary so I can make you quit it at 20? I loved this meeting with Dharma and Chitra at Chitra's house.
Yeah, their interstitials and their interviews are also so hilarious.
So funny.
They are so good. They're so good. They sometimes remind me of Candy's mom's sisters, Aunt Bertha, and all of them sitting around talking.
Yes.
Yeah, they're just talking shit.
Yes. That's I could definitely see that. Also, they're talking about fasting for a purpose and stressing out constantly over their kids and just like only using religion to serve themselves.
Just like, they're honest totally about us. They're totally honest about it. Like, we can use this to fix them. We can use religion to fix them.
And you can tell that there's an age difference because Dharma is still at the point of still worrying about her kids. And Chitra's at the point of like, fuck my kids, they're fine. I don't give a shit. Like,
plus also Chitra has two older kids, right?
Yeah.
So they are already out of the house, all done. Anisha is the youngest and Anisha is living her life and Chitra doesn't care if she has her vibrators on. She just doesn't want to walk in on them on that, but she's fine. It's like the last kid syndrome. She's like, whatever.
Yeah.
I did good with two.
Yeah. I love when Chitra's like, you know, I've learned that our kids are independent. It's okay. Mm-hmm. Our kids are different than us. We're all evolving. And then she says, they're much more intelligent than us. And then she says, no. Actually, no, they're not more intelligent.
We are intelligent.
Dharma's like, at least now with the kids at home, I'm of some use. And Chitra's like, I'm always of use. Always of use. I love her.
I know.
I see why Anisha is the way she is.
She's got her mother's personality.
Yeah. And she's gotten her mother's personality at the point where her mom said, fuck it.
Yes.
Which is really important.
That's a great time when your mom has finally gotten to the point where she says, fuck it. And you can actually have a great relationship with your mom now because she's not constantly telling you to do what you should be doing and what you need to be doing and how you're disappointing her or whatever. All of that is done and gone. So now you can actually relax and have a good relationship with your mom.
Yeah. I have an older brother who got married, even though I'm the youngest in my family, my older brother got married a year before I did. And then after I got married, my brother, who is still single, my mom has a totally fuck it relationship with him.
Yeah.
And so they're super duper close and he gets away with all kinds of shit and they have all kinds of jokes with each other. And it's because she's just at this point where she's like, I got rid of two of the kids.
Yeah. This I did. My batting, my bat, she's like, my batting average is great.
Exactly.
I don't need to. I did above average and that's all. I was aiming for average. I got above average. I'm okay.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So Dylan and Anisha go to a sex shop where, did you notice that they're selling Lisa Rinna's book?
No. Yeah. Really?
Dylan said that there was a guide called How to Give Mind-Blowing BJs.
Oh, wow. I didn't notice that. I was too focused on the lesbian who was trying to hit on Anisha. Trying to sell her the toys and telling Anisha, you can take this. This is not too hard on you. This is going to be too strong for you. She was like, are you sure you can handle this? I love that Dylan came in with the measuring tape.
It was amazing. Like, why? Wait, but also, for what other reasons, Dylan, you're listening. Dylan, what other reasons are you carrying around a measuring tape for? Why do you just, like, I imagine that, like, when Dylan opens up his glove compartment, there's a variety of things. Just obviously, there's the Jack
what
Masala.
What is in Dylan's, what is in Dylan's glove compartment?
Okay, Jack Masala.
Uh-huh.
Measuring tape. A ring light for good selfies.
Yes.
Nail polish. If you notice, his nails are always done.
Yeah.
And
coconut oil for his hair.
Because that's beautiful head of hair he has.
That's a beautiful head of hair.
There you go. We nailed it. Dylan, let us know if we did well. I love when Chitra is talking about the sex toys and she's like, it's not like she's in high school where I'm like, why are you wasting your time with these toys when you should be doing your homework?
See, that's also such a desi mom thing to say. It's like all they care about is feeding you and getting you through all the schools and getting you well educated. So the three things that desi moms care about, feeding you well, getting you through school with high grades, and getting you married.
That's it.
And if they are two out of three and the third one is not quite happening and now they're in the fuck it stage, then she's fine.
Exactly.
Like, those are the three things that they care about. And that's all they care about. They don't care about anything else.
But also, I just love that she's like, if you've done your homework, I don't care.
If you've done your homework, you can play with the vibrator.
Yeah, it's totally fine.
I do too. She's awesome. I'm so happy we're getting a lot of Chitra this year.
Yes.
I think we didn't get enough last year. I think this year we're getting a lot of her.
Have you seen when Anisha posts like Chitra's posts of wisdom?
Oh, yes.
Okay,
yes.
Chitra does wisdom. Now she's doing wisdom posts like, you know, Joe Gorga, but except Joe Gorga's make no sense. But Chitra posts these like little totkes, we call them, like little little pieces of wisdom. Yeah. And whenever she does them, she does it in her sort of like, I don't know, she's got the most unique voice, I think, for other people. But for us, she's got this very authoritative auntie voice that I am obsessed with. And then she does her little thing. And then this is not a visual medium, but if you watch the video, she does a thing with her hand where she kind of ends the thought with, how do I describe this, Aarti? Like sort of like a twist, a hand twist. A hand twist.
Yeah, and like, it's like a hand twist palm, and a full it's like a full stop.
Like a full stop. Like your palm ends. It's like a hand twist that ends with your palm in the other person's face. Yes. And the best way to describe the feeling that gives me is as if Chitra is saying like, take it or fucking leave it. This is what I have to say. Go fuck yourself.
Yes. And she's like, this is a fact. And I have said what I need to say. And I'm done.
Done.
That's what it is. It's like, I'm done. Full stop. Full stop. That's it. Yeah. It's a fact.
It's a fact. I love her.
Yeah.
Then we have Friendsgiving at Bali's house.
Mm-hmm. This episode, she looked gorgeous. That blue on her looks so good on her. That Ramona blue.
It is Ramona blue. You're right.
Yes.
Very Desi Thanksgiving with dhoklas and turkey, samosas and vegan treats. I was like,
yes,
this is how we eat.
It was a Friendsgiving. Nobody sat down. Everybody just piled on the plate and they were just standing around, walking around, talking. It wasn't a sit down proper. Let's be thankful Thanksgiving or any of that. It
was actually, if you go to like a proper Thanksgiving dinner, even those are like this because there's too many of us to be sitting down at a table and eating.
Right, right.
So we're just eating.
Yeah, our gatherings are too big for a table. We don't invite just enough members for the table. No. That would mean that just our family alone would sit around the table. If we invite somebody, it would be just one more family. That's never going to happen. There's always three or four families.
Yes.
So the gathering is always 20 plus.
Of course.
And there's no way we can sit around a table. It's paper plates, if at all.
Or the Corningware.
Or the Corningware. Depends. The elders get Corningware because of respect.
Yes.
The youngsters can fuck it and take a proper paper plate. You can double up the paper plate, but you are not getting the Corningware.
No. No, yeah. Unless your ass is in the kitchen later doing those dishes, you take the paper plates and go fuck yourself, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm literally right now in the process of planning how I can expand my kitchen and make my dining room smaller because we never use our dining room.
I can see that.
Yeah. You've been in my house.
Yeah.
I just want to get rid of the dining room because it's just a dumb fucking table there that barely ever gets used.
Mm-hmm.
The only time it's used is when there's people over and we never sit around it. We use it like a buffet table.
So you just want to knock off the wall? That
wall is gone.
Oh, that would make that room so much bigger. The kitchen would expand.
Yeah.
You could turn the
And you know what? I'd much rather have a giant island in my kitchen.
Island, yes. You could take the island and turn it around 90 degrees.
And then people would gather in the kitchen, which is usually where they gather. Right.
Yeah, yeah. That's a great idea.
Hey, thanks. So at this Friendsgiving, Monica and Anisha are getting along.
And that sort of freaks out Vishal. He's like, they're both talking to me right now.
Exactly.
Yeah,
I think that if everybody gets along, then everybody has to pay attention to the fact that Vishal is their hot mess friend. It's not actually anybody else. I think that's why he's so freaked out.
Yeah, it's like, oh no. He changes. His personality changes when Richa is not with him. When Richa is with him, he gets all nervous because he feels like he needs to behave a certain way.
I still can't quite figure out who Vishal is because I don't think Vishal knows who Vishal is.
Yeah, that's true.
So instead he just like, you know, he does like party tricks, like taking off his shirt and being annoying. Yeah. Bali tells Monica that she hung out with her dad and she wants to take her dad on a date. And we learn that Monica's mom is single also.
Yeah.
Monica says she's weirded out by the thought of her parents dating other people.
Yeah.
Monica, you're like 30 and your parents got divorced when you were like in middle school?
Yeah, something like that. And your mom has been dating from the way Bali was asking. She's still single, right? She doesn't have a boyfriend. She's
yes.
So she's like, it almost seemed like people know that her mom has been dating, at least.
Yes, I also got that. But it seems like Monica is just, she's too closed off and too childish. And maybe she'll open up by season three, but I don't know. Everything she does really annoys me.
Yeah.
I may have mentioned that once or twice on the podcast.
She needs to get over her mom and dad being separated by now, and she needs to move on. I mean, and we are only seeing 2 years of her life. I mean, this has been going on for how many years now?
Yeah.
She needs to move on and let her father have some company. If her father needs company, he needs to start dating again.
I know.
And move on with his life and not be stuck with living with Monica.
Yeah.
At this rate, Monica won't move on because she needs to worry about her dad and take care of him.
You know, the other thing I noticed about Monica is Monica and Raj, if you notice, even like when they showed their little Diwali get together, when they did Diwali, it was just Monica and Raj at home and they just cooked a little bit of food or whatever. And I've not really looked enough at Monica's social media to figure this out.
Yeah.
But out of all of the families, the Vaswanis are the most, I'd say, like the least rich.
Yeah.
They seem like the most like middle class of the families. And so I wonder if Monica has sort of this other chip on her shoulder of like everybody around us is like super fabulous and rich and everybody's families are together. And so I wonder if that's why sometimes Monica comes off as a try hard, which then makes me feel like poor thing.
Yeah.
And you don't want to feel bad for her.
I don't know. I think she needs to just grow up. I think she hasn't. She's still stuck in middle school.
Yeah. And I think, but I think she's also stuck in middle school because of her own insecurities.
Yeah.
Then they play a dumb game that makes everybody nervous, but it seems to be fine. I will say one thing Monica did that was kind of insane was she killed the dog in Fuck, Marry, Kill.
Yeah.
I was like, are you a sociopath?
I was thinking that. And then this afternoon when I was trying to not pay attention to work, I was working, I was thinking about T'Challa and wondering what was the freak accident that he died in. And I was like, oh, maybe he hit a big tree, then a small tree. Maybe he had been drinking. And then I was like, it's too soon. I'm making fun of someone's pet.
Girl, okay,
and listen. That was... as a pet, and maybe it's too soon. And then I was like, and I was judging Monica for killing the dog, and here I am making fun of T'Challa's death within a day or so.
Well, I'm not making fun of T'Challa's death, but I will say, listen, guys, listen, that bird has been dead for a long time, okay?
What?
I think that bird died a long time ago, and if anything, you know, Big Chris rolled over and poor T'Challa got in the way.
I think the other conspiracy theory was that Big Chris fed the bird to the sharks in the tank.
Oh my god, that's so dark. Okay, that wasn't my theory, but what my theory was that Monique conveniently dropped this information the week that Potomac is coming back.
Yeah,
you know, like come on.
Maybe he's not dead. Maybe he flew away and she's trying to get some sympathy. Maybe he's in my backyard. I should look out. T'Challa, if you're there, come back. Come back. I'll take care of you. I wouldn't throw you in the shark tank. I don't have one.
I don't trust Harold with T'Challa.
No, he would be so kind. He's fine. He carries around a little stuffed bird around like it's his baby, and we cannot even touch him. In his mouth, but he doesn't. We cannot touch it. We cannot squeak it. We cannot do anything with it. He just holds on to it at all times. He's just such a. He loves anything small and tiny to play with.
Okay. I'm concerned. T'Challa's dead and I'm scared for him. This hypothetical where Harold and T'Challa
Bella would kill him. Bella is like, you're annoying.
Oh no.
Bella is very cold when it comes to these things. Harold is not. He's just loud, but he's actually a very
well in that case then R.A.P. T'Challa, but also I think that Bert died a long time ago.
But also, Monica, you killed a dog.
Now, if you were giving your friends a bag of a surprise gift, would it be a Ganesh or Xanax?
How about both? Why not both?
Why not a Ganesh that you can pop open the top of it and it's a little pill box and inside of it is Xanax?
Xanax, yes.
And then you go to jail for yes. giving your friends control substance.
Yes. Yes. By the way, it reminds me, I have to mail a Ganesh to our friend and listener, Gunkulandi.
Okay.
He made a special request. He's like, can you send me a Ganesh? So I have one here that I'm going to send it to him, which reminds me that I need to mail that to him.
Okay.
But yeah, it's a good luck thing.
That's sweet.
I have so many Ganesh all over the house.
Elephants, is that a South Indian thing or just an all Hindu thing?
It's a Hindu thing. It's a lot more in South India than it's North. But Ganesh is just good luck and you're starting off on your journey. It's like everything about Ganesh is good luck. So we just give little, tiny little Ganesh. You will see that if you see a Hindu's car, sometimes they'll have a little Ganesh stuck to their their dashboard. Yeah. Just brings good luck.
It's cute.
Yeah.
Also, I liked, speaking of South Indian, when Chitra's like, South Indians, we don't fast because you're too angry.
That is also true. South Indians, we don't fast. We don't fast. We will do like, we call it fasting, but really it's like lighter food.
Like
it's
what?
Like we would have like puff rice, poha, you know, but we will not have like proper cooked rice, and we will have like very light food, a little bit of food in the morning, and fasting would be that we don't have a proper meal, but we have like the dosa or idli or something.
Sounds delicious.
Yes. So it's not even fasting. It's like having a what you would have as your evening snack. We call it tiffin. Have that instead, and that's it. And, you know, that's what we call fasting. South Indians don't fast so much.
I love it. It's like I'm fasting, but my fasting is I'm only having tapas today.
Yes. The fasting is like you're having less dense food. It's like light on your body and things that your body can digest faster.
Just like grazing on a charcuterie board all day.
Yes.
Sign me up. It sounds amazing.
Yeah.
Well, that's it for Family Karma. Yeah. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Bye.
Bye.